Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Lamed Gimel. We are going to be starting on Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis. I'm going to go back just a little bit. I'm going to go back to the beginning of the circuit. We're going to be starting with the words Tana Rabbanan, and we're going to be talking about liability. Well, of course, we're talking about liability because that's what we do in Baba Kama. But here we're going to be talking about liability both in terms of damages that were caused and wrongful death, that you were responsible for somebody's death, and what kind of liabilities are there. Okay, let's go. Let's just go with the Bryce and I'll explain everything as we go along. Tana Rabbanan Nichnas Lechanuso Shel Naga. Okay, so, I'm sorry, you want to find me. So, on Lamed Beis, we're going to be a third of the way down. Okay, about 15 lines from the top of the Amud. So, Tana Rabbanan Nichnas Lechanuso Shel Naga Shel Abirushos. So, you're going into the carpenter's house. And, I say his house, by the way, you know what I mean. His office is wherever he's working. A shop. And v'nitza bikas v'tavcha apan of a mace. Now you're going in shalom b'risha, so you don't have permission. You didn't have permission to go in there. And he's working, and he's working, and you got hit, and you got hit right in the face, and you got hit in the face, and now so there's going to be liability. So I'm sorry. So v'tavcha apan of a mace pater. So if he dies, so he's going to be pater. We're going to explain why. V'im nichnas b'risha chayev. Now, if he goes in Bereshus, he's going to be Chayef. So over here, we need Hezber. We need explanation. So the Gemara says, my Chayef. So when we say Chayef, what are we talking about? So I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Chayef, Barba Dvarim. So you're going to be paying for the Nezik, for the bodily damage, right? And we're going to learn together that for bodily damage, when you are doing damage to another person's body, so you are going to be Chayef now five different payments. Aside from the Nezik, aside from the actual damage itself, you're also going to be paying for Shevis, Ripuy, Tsar, and Boshes. Now, over here, it happens to be that you're not going to be paying the Boshes. Boshes is its own separate and unique category. And Boshes, the only time that you're chayv for Boshes is when you have Kavanah to do Nezek. Over here, there wasn't Kavanah to do Nezek, but for the other payments, you have to pay. Despite the fact that it was an accident, it doesn't matter. Adam, Muad, Laolam. When you cause damage to somebody, so you're going to have to pay. Now, Pater Migalos, just give me 1 second. Now, in terms of not going into Galus, why aren't you going to go to Galus? Because it's similar. It's not similar to a yar, to a forest. So yar are zel rishus anichnas, zel rishus anichnas. Meaning the Torah's prototypical case of manslaughter, of ritzicha b'shogeg, is talking about a case where I went into the forest, you went into the forest, I was chopping a tree, you were standing there, and then by accident the handle slipped. The blade slipped, it killed you, and again, I'm oversimplifying the scenario, but the Gemara Makus discusses it in more detail, but that's the Torah's description of when somebody goes into Galus. Over here, you went into somebody's house, it's not the same. So the Gemara says, so it's not the same. Okay, and so therefore, you're not going to go into Galus. Zeh l'rishus chaver nechna. So over here, you went into your friend's property. So this doesn't follow the model of going into Galus. Okay, so I'm sorry, Phil, go ahead.
No, I was just going to Boshes. Don't you have to be alive or Boshes?
No, in other words, there are two different scenarios. One scenario is where you hurt him, and the other scenario is where you killed him. So in the case where you hurt him, so then you're going to be paying
Boshes.
Everything but Boshes. Because Boshes, you need Kavan al Hazik.
No, I understand, but that part I understand.
Right.
Person injured has to be alive. If he's dead, what's the
boshes? No. If he's dead, so then there's no. We're not talking about Dal Dvarim if he's dead. If he's dead, we're only talking about Galus.
Right.
Okay. Now, Amar Rav Kavachomer, Mayar Zeladas Anichnas, Zeladat Anichnas. So, Nasa Kimish Anichnas, Ladas Chaver, Ravigola, Zesh Ladas Chaver, Nichnas, Lakoshikain. And now Rav says this can't possibly make sense. I know we did all this yesterday, but good. In other words, this is the beginning of the Sugya. So, Rav says, I don't understand. In the case of the Yar, we're going into neutral territory. You have the right to go in, I have the right to go in. And there, Galus. Over here, where I'm invited to come in, I'm coming in Bereshus. So, lo kol shekein, meaning, and then once you allow me to come into the shop, and then wrongful death. So, doesn't it make sense that I should go to Galus? So, Alam Rava, so Rava says, okay. So, I'm going to explain this, but I'm explaining the Patur, not from the standpoint of it's not shogeg, but from the standpoint of, it's not shogeg. Now, if you're listening carefully, that sounded confusing. We're going to explain. Elam Rava, my pata migalos, to los agile migalos. Vahainu time of the Rabbi Yosef, Rebbe Chanin, Mishum, Dahavale, shogeg, karvla, mazit. So Rav introduces the following, and that is that I'm in my shop. I'm a carpenter. I'm cutting wood. Chips are flying everywhere, right? Heavy equipment, right? In other words, it's a dangerous place. And somebody knocks on the door, and I invite him to come in. So now that I know that somebody else is there, and now, right, he dies via accident. In other words, a chip now is a head right in his direction and kills him. Now, do you know why I'm not going to go into Galus? Not because it's less than Shogeg, but because it's more than Shogeg. In other words, now we're in an area of, it's greater than Shogeg, but it's not actual Mazid. Okay, so in other words, it's Shogeg, Karov LeMazid. You're only going to go into Galus when it's Mama Shogeg, meaning when it is a, now again, using the word accident is misleading. Shogeg doesn't mean an accident. Shogeg obviously means you should have been more careful, because if it was an onase, you're not going to go into Galus. In other words, Shogeg means it's wrongful death. It's, right, your behavior was slightly irresponsible, but slightly irresponsible. Once it goes above the level, above the threshold of slightly irresponsible, so now we're getting closer to Mazid. So now Galus is not good enough. Galus provides a kapara, but only for slightly irresponsible, not for majorly irresponsible. Now, that's easy to say. The hard part is what we're trying to do right now in the Gemara, and that is exactly provide the scenarios of what's Shogeg, what's Karav LeMazid, like in other words, what exactly is considered slight irresponsibility versus major irresponsibility. So Mesa Rava, so now the Gemara says, okay, so with that in mind, so the Gemara now is going to be probing on this topic of what is considered majorly irresponsible. So in other words, it's above Shogeg. It's more Karav LeMazid. So the Gemara says, Mesa Rava, Hosev, Lovritsu, Achas, V'mesa, Rizigol, Al Yado. So, and again, we did this yesterday as well. And that is that what happens is that the person now is Chayv Malkus. And the person now giving the Malkus, actually administering the Malkus. So what happens is that he gave one too many. And the person died. So Gola Al Yado. So this is slightly irresponsible. Shogeg. So the Gemara says, Vach, Shogeg Karav LeMazid, Udi Bayasuke Adaita, Demaisin Shebechad Ritzua, Vekitani Arizigola. Now, the Gemara is basically saying, how could you call this slightly irresponsible? Right now, you are whipping a person. You are giving him a corporal punishment. And now, you have to be extraordinarily careful. Right? You give him one lash too many and the person could die. So in other words, this is not slightly irresponsible. I think this is majorly irresponsible. And yet, the Braisa says that he goes into Galus. So, Amar Shimi Minar Adam, so, Detai Biminyana. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what happened over here? He was Tov B'Minyan. In other words, he miscounted. And that is considered now Shogeg, slightly irresponsible. So Tafak Le Rava B'Sand Le Sarava kicked him under the table. Amalu Atu HaMani V'Hatanya. I'm sorry, Atu Hu Mani? In other words, you think the person administering the Malkus is counting? Well, we learned in a Braisa. Galdo Shad B'Dayanim Kari. Sheini Mona. Shlishi Omer Hikeu. Okay, so the whole procedure of how Malkus is given. One of the Dayanim is ringing the Psukim, another Dayanim is actually counting, and then the Shlech Basin is actually administering with every count. So Alam Rav Shimon Ben Arda, the Dayanim Gufei. So the Gemara says, okay, the Dayanim himself was miscounted. In other words, the one who was counting actually miscounted. One, two, three, four, and then he counted, and then he repeated again, four, five, six. In other words, okay, so he miscounted. And over here, an extensive discussion, which I'm bypassing, but I'm just I highlight. In other words, and yet the one who's giving, who's actually administering the Malkus, so now he's also going to be held liable, even though, in other words, he was given bad information in terms of what number we're up to. Regardless, the point is that it's a miscount. Miscount is considered shogeg. Okay, so it's not going to be akasha. So meitzvei zarek is having l'rishos haramim v'harik harizigola. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? Okay, you take a stone and you throw into a crowd and somebody dies. Ah, that's shogeg. The Gemara loses its mind. That shogeg? In other words, that is highly irresponsible. That shouldn't be called shogeg. That should be called karav lemezid. V'ach, the shogeg karav lemezid, udi by le'asukai, died to the rishos rabim, shchichei inche, v'katani arezigola. How could it be? Meaning, once you introduce this idea that when you're shogeg karav lemezid, you're not going to go into galos, how could it possibly be? You're throwing a stone into a crowd, and the halach is that you're going to go into galus, and that's not karav lemezid. Of course, it's karav lemezid. So Amar Shulam Bar Yitzchak, Besosos Koslo. So the Gemara says, no, what you were doing is that you were doing demolition. You had a wall, the wall was abutting the Rishos HaRabim, and you were demolishing the wall. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, you have to be kidding me. In other words, so you're demolishing a wall and demolishing it in the direction of the Rishos HaRabim, and we're going to call that shogeg? That's not shogeg. That's not slightly irresponsible. That is highly irresponsible. So the Gemara says, Besoser, Belaila. Well, you demolish at night. So Belaila Nami, Baile Yune. The Gemara says, that doesn't help. In other words, people aren't walking in the street at night. Of course they are. So Besoser's Kosa Beyam Lashba. So the Gemara says, well, your wall was not abutting an area of traffic. Your wall was abutting an Ashba. Now, Ashba, we're going to call a trash heap. It's not exactly a trash heap. But in other words, it's an area where it's a deserted alleyway. Sometimes people use it. You know what? You don't want people use it. Sometimes they use it for a bathroom. So the Gemara says, "Hi, hash ba'ichidami e deshchiche rabim." So meziru v'ilo shchiche rabim anusu. So the Gemara says, "Well, again, it really depends on do people use it or not. If there are people there, so that on your part is mezid." The Gemara says mezid over here. The Gemara in the context means karv lemezid. But it's not shogeg, and if there's nobody there, and really it's abandoned, and you demolished into that area, and then somebody decides to go there, even though it's normally an abandoned area, so that's onis. So Amra Papa Lo Tzricha Ella BeAshva So Li Panos BaLayla VeNasuya Lihi Panos BaYom. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, this ashpa, people use it at night to relieve themselves. People do not use it during the day to relieve themselves. That's a mitzias. That's the case under discussion. Now, v'ikad the mikra v'yasef. Now, sometimes, in other words, when somebody really needs to relieve themselves, so they'll use it even during the day. So, meiz lo havidah ha'ino asur li'panos b'yom. Anus nami lo havidah ikad the mikra v'yasef. So, in other words, to call the person a meiz now, as that one sole individual used it as a facility during the day, which is highly unusual. So now you demolish into that area. So are you amazed? No. In other words, the expectation is no one's there. Are you considered an ones? Well, you know there may be a person there. There's a chance, small chance. And again, obviously over here, it's I'm talking in the real abstract and what kind of chance are we talking about? I don't know. Anyway, but there's some small chance that someone's there. So now this is it. So now you demolish into that area without checking. So that is slightly irresponsible. That's a shogeg.
What he was doing was demolishing and throwing the stone in them. That's
right.
What he was doing.
Right.
Not that the wall that killed him. He was throwing the stone.
Right. Correct. Okay. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now through a discussion of what happens when you go into the carpenter. You were invited in, and then an accident occurs and wrongful death, and his level and liability is. His responsibility, his irresponsibility, and is he going to go into Galus? So right now, in our first approach of the Gemara, no, he's not going to go into Galus. Why? Because it's not slightly irresponsible. It is seriously irresponsible. It is shogeg karv lemezid. And that's why you're not going to go into Galus. Okay. Ad kan, that takes us through round number one. Let's do more. Lamed beis, amed beis. We're now towards the bottom of the amud. Rapapa mishmei derava masin la reisha. Okay, so this halacha, Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanina. So he learns it not on the seifa, which is that you were invited to come in, but rather on the reisha. Hanichlas lechanus l'shanaga shalav reishos v'nitzel l'bikas v'tavcha lo apanav ames. So pater. So now you come in uninvited into the shop, into the carpenter shop, and an accident, and now you die, pater. I'm Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, chayav be'arba dvarim, pater migalos. Ah, so now in terms of liability, so. In terms of lack of liability, so you're not going to go into galus. That's number one. In terms of liability, that's if that there wasn't death, but rather there was nezek, injury. So there you're going to be paying dal dvarim. Okay. Now manda basel sefer kol shekein reisha. So if you learn that there's a patur galus on the sefer, you for sure will be of the position that there's going to be a patur galus on the reisha. Consider in the reisha. Knock on the door. Can I come in? No, you can't come in. So now when he comes in, obviously there's going to be a patur. So aman demasnila reisha aval seifa kevin debrushos chayv galus. So the Gemara says, but if you're learning it on the reisha, in other words, the reisha is where you came in uninvited, and you're not going to be going into galus. But what about the seifa kevin debrushos chayv galus? So if the Patur Galus is on the Reisha, you could make the argument that on the Seifa, where you knock on the door and he invites you in, and then wrongful death, then you are going to go into Galus. So Michaev Galus v'atanya. So the Gemara says, but I don't understand. That can't be. Meaning, I look, consider the following brisa. Ha'nichlas l'chanus v'shal nafach, v'nitzen nitzotzos, v'tavcha lo apanav v'meis, pater v'afil nichlas b'rishus. We have almost the identical case where you're going into the smith's shop, the blacksmith shop, and what happens is the spark hits you and you die, wrongful death. So, and you were invited to come in, and the brisa says you're pater from galus. So in other words, we are at least entertaining that an invited guest into the carpenter shop and a wrongful death lawsuit, which results now in him going into galus. At least we're entertaining, meaning for most of the daf, we've been assuming you don't go into galus because it's karv l'mezid. But right now, we're at least entertaining the idea that you're going to go into galus. But meanwhile, we have a parallel brisa by the blacksmith. And in the case of the blacksmith, the brisa says that even when invited to come in, you are not going to go into galus in wrongful death. So the Gemara says the blacksmith brisa, that's a very limited scenario. We're talking about where, who's going in, what's it called?
Apprentice.
The apprentice. Thank you. I knew the word. It was right there. Okay. Just, you know, I was trying to ring it up. So the apprentice is coming in. So shul yidanafche lemikdalekai. So the Gemara says, wait, 1 second. Okay. So the apprentice. And what? And now the master has the right to kill the apprentice? In other words, that doesn't make it any better. So the Gemara says, Kesherabba Masar Bolatzis Veniyotzei. So the Gemara says, well, the master instructed the apprentice, okay, now it's time for you to go. Meaning, we're done. We're done with today's lesson, right? I want to be alone. You're going to go now. So the Gemara says, Mishum Derabba Masar Bolatzis Lemikdalei Kai. The Gemara says, I still don't understand. Okay, great. The master instructed the apprentice to leave. Okay, now the apprentice is still there. And now there's wrongful death. I don't understand. Just because the master told him to leave, that absolves him from having to go into galus?
No, but the master's assumption was that he had left.
The Gemara is going to speak it out. So, Kasavi Yatsa. So the Gemara says, the master is of the position that he left. So the Gemara says, Achi Achinami. So the Gemara says, okay. So now if the assumption is that he left, so why don't we say the same thing by anything else, by anybody else? So, Acher, we're on the top of Lama Gemma Med Aleph. Acher, Leislei Emsa Derabe. When it comes to somebody else, so they don't have Emsa Derabe, meaning we don't have a relationship. Right? Ma Astam, a person comes into my shop, I'm working, I'm telling him, okay, now go leave. Okay? So I know I told him to leave. And right, but in other words, but if I'm not his boss, and Stam, it's an Acher, just a Stam, a person, okay, I know I told him to leave, but people are funny. Just because I told him to leave doesn't mean he necessarily leaves. Hi, Islam to the Rebbe. But over here, when I'm talking about my apprentice, so he's my apprentice. So that means I'm the Rebbe. He's a Talmud. I tell him to do something. He does something. I wish life were that simple, by the way. I'm just, whatever. And we are in the 21st century. So maybe it's not fair to compare. But in other words, but if you're the Rebbe and he's the Talmud and you tell him to leave, of course he's going to leave. At least now that's a fair assumption. That's what the Bryce is talking about in such a scenario. That's why in the Bryce's scenario, he's not going to go into Galus. Okay. Right, correct. All right. So Adkan, that takes us to the end of the discussion of what happens when you go into the carpenter shop with permission, without permission. What if there's nezek? What if there's wrongful death? So if there's nezek, we could just simply say flatly that if there's nezek, of course you have to pay, because when it comes to nezek, adamud la'olam, and there's always going to be a liability for nezek. And almost never is there going to be a patur of nezek, okay? Anus gamor, we could talk about. But in other words, for nezek, you're going to pay. That part's easy. The part that's even if it comes in berushos, doesn't absolve you from damage. Correct. Absolutely correct. So the shalob berushos don't matter. It doesn't matter. In other words, you are going to be liable for nezek. Good. Right. Mitch, I understand your point. In other words, shalob berushos, meaning you're on my property and, I told you not to come in. I understand. But yeah, in other words, by nezek. So adamu la'olam. So now as far as wrongful death is concerned, and whether or not now with wrongful death, are you going to be going into galus? Okay. That's where it got tricky. Admittedly now, that was a lengthy discussion that we just finished up from yesterday's daf, in terms of when you're going to go into galus. And arguments could be made that it's shogeg, it's karv lamezid, maybe it's karv laones. In other words, and it really depends on the scenario and depends on the relationship between the two. Okay, that is a complex chart if you want to, not only if you want to, you should, right? Speaking to me also, you want to chart it out, but that's complicated. Okay, we're in Lama Gimel Amud Aleph, we're towards the top of the Amud. Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rav Amasni La Aha. Okay, so, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. So it's going on the following scenario, which is Umatza Prat Lamamsi Esatzmo Mamash. It's the Gemara Makos. The Gemara Makos describes the following: you're in the forest, you're chopping, and what happens is that the blade falls off, a splinter flies out, and it hits somebody and he dies. Okay, and because you were chopping wood and you knew the person was there, you needed to be more careful, and that was slightly irresponsible, and therefore you're going to go into galus. Good. Now, prat lamamsi atzatzmo. The drasha in the Gemara Makos is the following, and that is that I'll tell you what the Torah is excluding. You're chopping wood. The axe flies. The blade flies. The splinter flies. And after it's flying out there, then somebody appears out of nowhere. You didn't know the person was there at all. And then after things are flying, now he just comes out of nowhere, and it hits him and he dies. You're not going to go into galus. Now, why? It's very simple. Because that's closer to anus. So far, so good. Mikanam Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Mishiyatza Evan Mitachas Yado Hotzi Hala Esra Shavikiyab LaPater. And so now Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov makes a very simple extension of this halacha. You're throwing a stone. After the stone has left your hand, then all of a sudden this person appears out of nowhere. And and it kills him. So you're going to be potter again. This is now going to be closer to onus than it is shogeg.
It's not considered as arrow. The stone is not considered as arrow.
Again, you're now thinking about you're thinking about ramifications lagabe what nezek?
Yeah.
Okay, good. But this is not a nezek case. You killed him.
Just damaged somebody.
No, you killed him.
Well, that's the damage, no?
No. The pasuk over here is by death.
I know, but I mean, that's a form of damage, no?
No, it's different. Damage, no. It's not a form of damage. It's death. And it's death now, are you, in other words, by death, is it a capital crime? Only when you intend on killing a person. Over here, you had absolutely no intention to kill him. But in other words, but if you knew the person was there, and you're playing around with an axe, so now you had to have been more careful. That's shogeg. If you didn't know the person was there, and then after the axe left your hand, or after the stone left your hand, and now you killed him, that's onis. Okay. So I'm Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanan and Pata Migalos Vechai B'dal Advarim. The Gemara makes exactly your point, which is that if he dies, so then you're going to be Pata. But what if he didn't die? And what if damage occurs? So now if there's damage that occurs, so now you're Chayef. Why? Because it's Nezek. And Adam Ur La'olam. So man demasin alaha kol shekena kamaisa. Now, if you're taking this position of Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina, that you're going to be chayav nezek in this case, right, where he pops his head out. So then in the previous cases of, you go into the carpenter's house with permission, without permission. So for sure in that case over there, you're going to be chayav nezek, meaning he knows you're there. Man demasin la kamaisa va'aha pater legamre. So, but however, if I'm only learning the halacha of Rav Yossi, that the chayav nezek is in the case of the carpenter's house, maybe the argument over here is that in this case over here, you'd be pater, not only from galus, you'd even be pater from dal dvarim. You wouldn't even have to pay for the nezek. Why? Because maybe this would fall into the category of ones gamur. That's the Gemara is entertaining this idea. Again, another Gemara, right? We already saw a bunch of them. Chav zayin, chav ches. Tosfos already makes this point a number of times. Our Gemara certainly entertains the idea that even within nezek, there can exist a pater of ones gamur. Our Gemara certainly seems to suggest. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay. Lama Gimel Amud Aleph, a little bit before the Mishnah. Yeah. About 10 lines before the Mishnah. Polem Shabalit Vos Charami Balabayas, Venachan Shor Shabalabayas, Venashan Kavash Balabayas, Umeso Pater, Achemro Mimashain Polem Vos Charami Balabayas. So now, you're a worker, and the boss hasn't paid you. Okay. And it's been a minute. So you're like, okay, he owes me the money. Right, I worked hard. I worked diligently. He owes me the money, I'm going to go into his property. I'm going to go get my money. You're entitled? Now, you're entitled to collect your money. Are you entitled to go onto the property? So interesting halacha right now. And that is that you went onto the property and the owner's got this crazy dog. And the dog bites you. And you die. And so now, what is on the table for litigation right now? What's the claim?
Nothing.
It took me a moment to figure it out. Right. That can't be. Meaning we can't be having a discussion over nothing.
It is trespassing, no?
We'll get to whether or not he has the right to go onto the property. We're going to get there. But in other words, but what is the claim?
He was told to come and get paid.
He wasn't told, in other words, he's coming to collect his money. Right. You added that. Yeah.
Sort of like a lender, in a way. He's like
Perfect. Okay. Good. All right. Everyone's evading my question. That's fantastic. What's the claim? So the claim is kofer. Okay. In other words, over here we're talking about now where my animal, which is a muad, kills a person. So over here the claim is going to be kofer. Obviously,
on your property, how would you kofer on your property? Kofer is like no.
Oh, so another kofer, correct? Kofer is where my animal kills somebody, but right, good. But just at least I'm for. In other words, the animal killed him, and now good. So it's a good. The story is terrible. But what's the actual claim? We're learning about Bakama. There's got to be a claim. So the claim is kofer. Okay. In other words, then obviously the person who died is not claiming kofer, meaning he's dead. The family of the person now is claiming kofer. So under those circumstances where there's going to be claim of kofer, so now is there entitlement to kofer? And what we have over here is the machlokus between the Tanakama and Acherim. According to the Tanakama, putter. In other words, now we'll get to the strength of everyone's claim. The owner is going to say, what are you doing on my property? Right. Meaning, I know I owe you money. I get that part. But in other words, you had a right to be on my property. You had no right to be on my property. That's the Tanakama. And Acherim takes the position, no, he had a right to be there. Acherim say, Rashayim po'am l'tbos charem mi'bal habayis. You have the right. In other words, you worked for him. He owes you money. You have a right to claim your money. Okay. So at this point in time, it's early.
How is this different?
Wait, 1 second. It's early. We need more details. In other words, so the Gemara is going to give us more details. So, hechidami. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If this person leaves his house and he finds himself out in the street and in the market, in other words, and he's not a hermit, and so now you don't have to go to his house to find him. You can easily just go to, I don't know, his office or the street. So then, my time da acherim. There can be no legitimization to go onto the person's property. Absolutely not okay. And my time at the Tanakama. And if he's a hermit, and the only place that you're going to be finding him is in his house, so then how else are you going to be able to collect the money that you're owed? Okay. So the Gemara says, occasionally what you can do is you can find him in the street, but he's not frequently there. And you knock on the door, and he answers the door with one word. And he simply says, in. Yes. And now the Gemara says, here's what's open for debate. So Amar Savri, in all Tamashma, so according to Acherim, so when he said yes, do you know how you know how the person interpreted? Yes, come in. And Amar Savri, and according to the Tanakama, in Kumaduch Tamashma, so, and according to the Tanakama, do you know what yes means?
Yes means, yeah.
Right. You wait right there. I'm coming. But in other words, but not permission granted to come onto my property. Okay. So really, now an extraordinarily nuanced debate between the Tanakam and Acherim, where the circumstances are now, not that you come in uninvited to somebody else's property, because like Ben said moments earlier, I was trying to stall, but of course he's right. In other words, if you do not have the right to go onto somebody's property, that person owes you money, okay? In other words, certainly you have the right to your money, but that doesn't mean that you have the right to go onto his property. And so now as you knock on the door and he says yes, so now the really nuanced debate is how to interpret that yes. Tanya kamandamre in komaduchtech mashma de Tanya. So the Gemara says, I'm going to have a brisa supporting this position that in, when he answered the door by saying yes, yes just simply means yes, I'm acknowledging you're there. Yes, I'll come out. But not yes, you can come in. So Ditanya Polsha Nichnas the Tvos Chara Mi Balabais and Nachushar Shal Balabais and Nachro Kabo Pater Ve'afapi She Nichnas Birushus. And even though Nichnas Birushus, so the Gemara says, wait 1 second, am I Pater? What do you mean Nichnas Birushus? Permission was given to go onto your property, and now my wild dog bit you and you died, and now the family can't claim kofar? That doesn't make sense. So Elalav Kareya Baba Amrlay in Ushmamina in Kumaduktech Mashma. So it must be that the Bryce is talking about exactly what we're discussing. Knocked on the door, owner said yes, but that's all he said. And with the Bryce clearly interpreting the word yes to mean, yes, I hear that you're there, and yes, stand there, I'll come outside. Okay. And now that's and if that's in fact the correct interpretation of yes. So that means that the Powell had no allowance to go onto the property. And now, in the event that my Shur Hamuad, or in this case, the Kelev Hamuad, bit him and he died, so now there's not going to be a claim of Kofar. Okay. Adkan.
You said before that if you have a Bikudan, you can go into the house and get it. So isn't this like a Bikudan, if he owes him money? Seem to recall we said, right?
Mm-hmm. Wait, say it again.
I think we learned before that the guy can go into the house to pick up a bikkurim and they left there.
Yeah.
The Chumash
explicitly. No,
the
Chumash, right. You're going to stay outside.
Right.
The Chutz Ta'amod.
Right. The Chumash explicitly said many women may be driving to collect his
own. You can't go into somebody's property. You can't.
That, right?
No. The right. The Chutz Ta'amod. You stand outside, and he's going to come out. Okay. Shnei shvarim tamim shechavu zeh zeh mishamem mamos rechatzi nezek. Okay. Now, we are back to property damage. Okay. Spent a lot of time here in Baba Kama, which totally understandably, it goes over the property damage. Spent a little bit of time going over what happens when people are damaging adam hamuad. But now we're back to property damage. And again, remember, in Baba Kama, when I say property damage, so really what I mean is niske mamon, that means when my property goes and damages others. And specifically when we talk about my property, right now we're going to be talking about my shor. And again, what we all know, shor tam pays chatzi nezek, shor mu'ad pays nezek shalem. At this point in time, that's rudimentary, right? We are now in Lamed Gimel, so it's basics. Basic shibba basics in Baba Kama. And so over here now, a collision between my animal and somebody else's animal. So now, when my damage and your damage collide into one another and damage occurs. So now I owe you, and you owe me. Okay, so now what are we going to do? So we'll take out the balance sheet. In other words, how much damage was done to you? How much damage was done to me? And now, because they're tamim, so now I'm going to owe you half of whatever the damage is. You're going to owe me half the damages. Okay, in other words, we'll go over the estimates of each one, and what are we going to do? In other words, if they're offsetting, so then they're offsetting. And if there's a discrepancy, so I'm going to pay the difference.
Half of it.
Again, right. In other words, assess the damage, half it, and then whatever the difference is, I'll obviously the person who owes is going to have to pay. And we're going to do the same thing now, but instead of the animals being tam, the animals are muad. And they collide into one another. And once again, we're going to estimate how much damage was done to you, how much damage was done to me. If they're offsetting, fine. Then everyone just goes home. But in other words, but if my damage exceeds your damage, I'm going to pay you the difference. And over here, because both animals were muad, I'm going to pay you full nezek. Simple. Echatam echad muad. So muad bitam. Or now let's say that the collision between the two animals was a tam to muad or muad to a tam. So now let's go. So mishalim b'mosan ezek shal. I'm sorry. So echatam echem muad. So muad b'tam. So let's say I have now an animal which is a muad that collides into an animal that's tam. Mishalim b'mosan ezek shalim. So again now, I'm going to be owing you now full damages. And because my animal was a muad. And you did damage to me. You will be owing me chatzi nezek. Again, estimate, take out the balance sheet, and figure out the difference. And tam b'mod, mishalem b'mos chatzi nezek. And if the tam now, if his damages exceed that of the muad, again, figure out how much damages are, right? And now, if the tam's damages exceed the muad's damages, you're going to be paying whatever the difference is. And again, chatzi nezik because it's a tam. V'chein b'shnei anashim shechavlu zeh b'zeh m'sham m'mosen nezik shalom. Okay, two people collide into one another. I hurt you, you hurt me. Okay, so now we got to figure out what the damages are. Good, so we figured out what the damages are. If they're offsetting, they're offsetting. And if one exceeds the other, so then you're going to pay the difference. Adam b'mu'ad mu'ad b'adam m'sham m'mosen nezik shalom. Let's say I run into somebody's animal, I get damaged, the animal gets damaged. Once again, take out the spreadsheet, figure out how much damages were done to each. No. If offsetting, fine. And then whatever difference is, you're gonna pay. Adam b'tam tam b'adam. Adam b'tam b'shalom b'mosen nezik shalom. A person runs into an animal which is a tam. So now the person, Adam mu'ad la'olam, so he pay nezik shalom. Tam b'adam, if the tam runs into the Adam, and in other words, then, well, again, it's a collision. They're running into each other. But if the damages of the tam exceeds the Adam, so then Mishalem Memoser Chatzi Nezek. You're going to be paying above Chatzi Nezek. Okay, good. Rabbi Akiva Amar Aftam Shechava Ba'adam Mishalem Memoser Nezek Shalem. Rabbi Akiva has an interesting shita. Here we go. You know, a couple of out there shitas in Baba Kama. So here we are. Rabbi Akiva says, Tam Shechava Ba'adam. If a short tam damages a person, you pay Nezek Shalem. You pay full damages, right? In other words, even though, of course, Rabbi Akiva acknowledges there's such a thing as chatzi nezek when it comes to a short tam, but that's when a short tam does damage to another shore. Then and only then you pay chatzi nezek. But according to Rabbi Akiva, a short tam that is mazik and adam, nezek shalom. Good. That's an out there shita of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, I say out there, by the way, meaning it's not the halacha, but obviously it's part of our Mesorah. Tanu Rabbanan. Good. So now this idea that a tam pays chatzi nezek, whether that which it damages an animal, that which it damages an adam. And the Gemara quotes a brisa, and the brisa quotes a pasuk, and the pasuk darshins, and the Tanna Kamma darshins. Obviously, who argues with this point? Rabbi Akiva. Next line of the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva Amar Kimishpat Azeh Tachton Ketachton V'lo Ke'elyon Kimishpat Hazeh, meaning this is the law. The word Zeh is a miut, and that means Ketachton V'lo Ke'elyon, meaning that's only talking about where the short time damages another shore, not when the short time damages a person. So Yachal Mashalem in Aliyah. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, fine. So if a short time damages a person, so now you pay Nezek Shalem. Okay, now is it capped or is it not capped? Okay, we've gone over this point numerous times as well. The short time when doing damage, so number one, you pay chatzi nezek, and number two, it's migufo. In other words, it's capped to whatever the value of the animal is that damages. Is that going to be true according to Rabbi Akiva? When a short time damages a person and you pay nezek shalem, is it going to be capped or uncapped? So on that, min ha'aliyah, it's going to be, I'm sorry, so Yachol Mishalem in Aliyah. I might have thought that it should be uncapped. So Tamalam Yaselo Migufo Mishalem Veinu Mishalem in Aliyah. Okay, so the word low is coming to teach me that no, it's Migufo, not Min Aliyah. It's going to be capped. Ula Rabbanan Zeh Lamali. Now according to the Chacham and the Zeh, what is it coming to teach me? So Lepocho Me'arba Dvarim. It's coming to teach me that a shore that is no geach is only going to be paying nezek and not dal dvarim. Okay, here dal dvarim means in addition to the nezek. Rabbi Akiva Lapocho Arba Dvarim Minale. Now, what about Rabbi Akiva? In other words, how does he know that when a shore damages, there's a Ptur Dal Dvarim? So, Nafkele Min V'ishki Tein Mum Ba'amiso. Ish Ba'amiso V'lo Shor Ba'amiso. He has another pasuk in which he darshins it from. And again, finishing up over here, V'rabbanan Ime Ahi Avamina Tzar L'chude. Avari Puisheves Ema Li Tein Lo. If all I had was that pasuk that you just cited, right, then I would have thought that's the pasuk for Memor. Then I would have thought that that there's going to be a patur, but only from pain, not from ripui, not from shevis. And maybe if your animal damages, you have to pay in addition to the nezek, also shevis, also ripui. So shevis aval ripui shevis emali tein lo. So kamash malan. So kamish barazes coming to tell me that no, that when an animal damages, you pay and you only pay nezek to the exclusion of tsar and shevis. And ripui v'chule v'chule. Okay, that kind of takes us to the end of our next sugya. So what we learned together is that in a collision and damages occur to both, to both animals, to an animal and a person, whatever the collision was. So you basically, what you have to do is you just take out your spreadsheet. How much damage was done to you? How much damage was done to you? How much do you owe? How much do you owe? You owe chatzi nezek, you owe nezek shalem. Basically, take out a spreadsheet and just work out the numbers. And if it's offsetting, so then obviously nobody owes anybody anything. And if there's a difference, you pay the difference. It's really that simple. But in the course of this discussion, we were introduced to, for the first time in the Masechta, the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that when it comes to a short time doing damage to a person, there you pay nezek shalem. Okay. And then, right, I did a little research, and then the discussion, which already is by the Achronim, meaning a later discussion, within the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that when a short time does damage to a person, you pay nezek shalem. Is that mamon or is that knas? Okay. Beautiful lumdish question. Right, he quotes Rav Chanan who discusses this point.
Does it exceed the value of the animal?
Right. The Gemara says no. The Gemara says it's going to be capped, even though it's nezek shalem. So it's a really unusual kind of nezek shalem, a capped nezek shalem. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, we go on. Shor shava manish enaga shor shava masayim ve'ena nevel yafeklom. So no tells us shor. Okay. Now we have an extraordinarily short Mishnah. But over here, this is going to open up the door to an unbelievable discussion, which is going to close up today's daf. And that is the following. Okay, so let's just do simple analysis. Simple. I say simple, meaning it's not simple, but really basic analysis in terms of this idea of chatzi nezik by a short time. Okay, and we're going to go with nice and simple numbers. Okay, your short time does a negicha on my animal. My animal was valued at 200. Took its value and reduced it from 200 down to zero. Carcass is worth nothing. I get you. But just for illustrating this example, okay. Let's say it went from 200 to zero. And let's say that your shore now is valued at 100. So now what do I do? So I take your shore.
And who gets the carcass?
The carcass right now, again, I'm speaking in the abstract. I'm just citing the Mishnah, explaining the Mishnah. The carcass, it's zero. It's valued at zero. It doesn't matter who gets it. Okay, it has no value. Eina nevela yafeklum. So now you owe me chatzi nezek. Chatzi nezek is 100. Your animal is valued at 100. Now it happens to be that it's capped at 100, but it happens to be that your animal is valued at 100. So I take the animal. And effectively now, good. In other words, we just went over what chatzi nezek looks like. It's really not that hard. Half of 200 is 100. that part's easy. But here's where the analysis comes in. In other words, in a nice, easy case like this, simple case like this, I'll lay out the two sides, and we're going to see all this in the Gemara and the ensuing discussion for the remainder of today's daf. Do I become a de facto partner in your animal? That's one option. Or the other option is that the animal is just serving as security and a lien against the obligation that you owe me. Good? Mm-hmm. Gemara is going to discuss exactly this point. Masnis and money, Rabbi Akiva hi. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. And the Tanya will learn to the Braisa. Yusham Ashur Bevestin Divir Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Amar Huchla Tashur. And so now, today's daf, Lamed Gimel, we're going over one of the more basic machloksim here in Baba Kama, and that is the chatzi nezek of shor tam. Is it yusham ashur or yuchlat ashur? Okay, that's the terminology. And Rabbi Yishmael is of the position of yusham ashur, which means that according to Rabbi Yishmael, what happens is that the animal is going to be evaluated. And what we're going to do is that we're going to be using the animal, but only as security against the obligation. Meaning the obligation really is owed by the mazik. He owes the money. The animal is just simply serving as security. And also, remember, the animal is also capping the limits of how much damage I owe. But in other words, you are not a de facto owner of my animal. My animal is there and only there to serve as security against the obligation. That is Yusham Ashur of Rabbi Shmuel, which meanwhile, according to Rabbi Akiva, Yuchlat Ashur, which means that what happens is I become a de facto partner in the animal. And in the event that, let's say the damages were 200, your animal's at 100, and it's a short time, so what do I get to do, according to Rabbi Akiva? Take it.
Do you become a partner, or do you establish a lien?
That's exactly the question. That's exactly the question. And b'may kemifligi Rabbi Shmuel Savar bar Chovu v'zuze who de maske and Rabbi Kiva Savar shudfeinenu. And now, according to Rabbi Yishmael, so what happens, and the only thing that happens is that he owes you money, and you are all you are is just simply a creditor on him. You are a Baal Chov. He owes you an obligation. That's it. And according to Rabbi Akiva, no, you become de facto partner. You become now a brand new owner in the item. Okay, now in Rabbi Akiva's ownership model of how Chatzi Nezek works, boy, oh boy, is there a lengthy discussion. You could see it right here. Look at Tosos Ika Bainayu Tosos number one, which spills into the Amud Beis. Another Tosos Ika Bainayu. Okay.
What's the partner? Sounds like Rabbi Akiva, you grab the animal.
100%. Well, in other words, partnership just simply means that you now have shares in the animal. Sometimes there'll be 50% shareholder, and sometimes you're going to be on 100% shareholder. In other words, in the example where the damage was 200 and his animal is worth 100, you now become a 100% shareholder of the animal. So your partnership, you are a sole partner in it. In other words, because you own all the shares. Okay, good. So the kamifligi b'haikra now. How do we get here? Meaning this is a really fundamental debate in terms of what happens to the Nizak as to whether or not he just simply is assessing the value of the animal, establishing it to be the measure of which how much money you're going to owe me, or according to Rabbi Akiva, you become the owner of the partner. Meaning that's a really big difference in terms of shitas. How do we get there? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how we got there. Because when the Torah describes Chatzi Nezek, so the Torah says that you're going to sell the shor, you're going to divide its chatzus kaspo, you're going to divide its money. Rabbi Shmuel Savar lebe dinah kamazer rachmana, meaning who is the Torah addressing right now? Right, it's an unbelievable analysis. Meaning we know that the Torah now is giving direction. What we don't know is who's the Torah directing. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, Torah is directing Beis Din. Meaning, Beis Din, you're going to be in charge of the finances. Because he's not the owner of the animal, he the Nizak. In other words, Beis Din, but you have to make sure that he gets paid. And meanwhile, according to Rabbi Kiva, Savar leNizak Mazik Mazul Rechmana. And what Rabbi Kiva says, you know who the Torah is addressing? The Mazik and the Nizak directly. Meaning that you're going to be dividing the animal. Why? Because Mazel Tov, now you have a... You have partnership in the animal.
So according to Akiva, if now that the guy is a partial owner, right? The Nizak is a partial owner, according to Akiva, right? If the animal goes on to gore a third animal, now is the Nizak on the
so,
hook now?
Good. So my Beinayu, perfect. So my Beinayu, Gdisha Nizak, Ika Beinayu. So now the Gemara wants to really like drill down further into this idea of ownership. According to Rabbi Akiva, so now what if you're a Makdish? In other words, is your partnership ownership now like full fledged? The Gemara says absolutely. According to Rabbi Akiva, now because you're the owner, you can be makdish your shares of the animal. Now again, if you have 100% shares of the animal, you can be makdish the whole animal. Whatever your shares represent in the animal, you can be makdish it. You mamish are the owner of the animal. Obviously, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you can't. Even within the Shita Rabbi Akiva, by the way, and this is what engenders so much discussion. Meaning your ownership of the animal. Meaning you do have ownership according to Rabbi Akiva. Is it in your rishus? Generally speaking, when you're makdish something, you have to be the owner, and it has to be in your rishus as well. Over here, is it in your rishus?
What is the guy's kinyan to acquire it?
Right, correct. And what was right? Another excellent question. In other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, I'm just reiterating. I don't have the answer. But according to Rabbi Akiva, what exactly is going to be the method of kinyan? Oh boy. Okay, good. So some basic questions. Let's go a little bit further today. I don't want to fall further behind. Okay, now the mazik is mocher the animal. Obviously, after damage and after now the money is owed, and now according to Rabbi Shmuel, you sell it. So kem damar Yishmael b'achov hu v'zuzu hu demazik lei machor odoma. So the Gemara says, look, on one hand, the Mazik owes the money. This is, again, you have to know who we're talking on behalf of right now. Right now we're on behalf of Rabbi Shmuel, where you're not the owner of the animal. So it's just serving their security. So on one hand, we could just simply say that fundamentally the mazik owes the money. And so therefore, if the mazik wants to sell the animal, he could do so. Obviously, that doesn't remove the obligation, obviously. And alternatively, says the Gemara, as we turn to the Amud Beis, on the other hand, maybe the animal there is serving as a shibud. Now, keep in mind, by the way, we're talking about an animal as a shibud. That's metaltalin. Hold that thought. So, Amaleinu Machor. So, now, Rav Nachman's answer to Rava, no. And the sale is invalid. So, the Gemara says, V'hatanya Machor. Okay, but Rava says back to Rav Nachman, yeah, but I have a brisa. And the brisa says that the sale is valid. So, V'chime Achor, Chozer V'goveu. So, the Gemara says, no. Rav Nachman says, you know what the brisa means? The sale is temporary. But in other words, but the Nizah can come and collect. So the Gemara says, V'chime Achor, Chozer V'goveu, Olam HaMachor. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's a funny way to talk. Right? Temporary sale. Right? In other words, everyone here is looking at me. Temporary sale, what is he talking about? Well, the Gemara asks that question. So the Gemara says, well, temporary sale, really, I'll talk the language that you and I understand. It's a rental. Okay. Right? In other words, for the time being, you could use it. Okay, we'll call it a rental. So the rija literally means to plow. So shma mina lover mocher metaltan beis and gover mehem. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Boy, oh boy, am I confused. The Gemara says, so wait a second. So somebody owes me money. And he sells not his property, he's selling his metaltalin. I have a lien on his metaltalin? Of course, I don't have a lien on his metaltalin. Like, what's going on over here? In other words, that came out of nowhere. Oh my gosh, they're so good. So Shani Hasam, the Gemara says, oh, so let's answer this up and then we'll finish. So Shani Hasam, the command also apotiki dami. So the Gemara says it's going to be different over there because it's an apotiki. So the Gemara says, you're right. Normally there is no shibud on metaltalin, that part's true. But over here we're talking about where? It's when you are assigning a lien to an item. There with clear assignment and designation. So there's going to be a lien on an even metaltan. V'am Rava also avdo apotiki machro balchov govehimenu shara apotiki machro ein balchov govehimenu. The Gemara says, wait one second. Even as an apotiki, you can apotiki an eved kanani. You can't apotiki ashore. So the Gemara says, eved my taima mishum de seikala. So hainami kevin denagachala isle tura denagchana karile. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the reason why you can apotiki an eved is because it's public. Sales are public. Everybody knows. Over here, when it comes to a shore sale could be done privately. And so therefore, there's no way to, in other words, we want to protect buyers. Over here, however, when you have a shore shenagach, it's public. Everybody knows it. And so therefore, we don't have to worry about protecting the buyer. No buyer is going to be sold, is going to buy this without knowing that it's a shore shenagach. Okay.
But an eved is like real property. Correct.
Right? In other words, we had that discussion earlier in terms of whether or not there's an already existing lien on avadim. Right? The Gemara had exactly that discussion. Adkan, we're going to stop over here.